Welcome back to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. It is great to have you with us. Jean Creighton joins me, as she does almost every month, to talk about things astronomical. Welcome back, Jean.
Hello, Bonnie.
It is great to see you, but this is kind of a sad time for astronomers, isn't it? Because the days are getting longer and the nights are getting shorter.
This is true if you depend on the night to do your observations.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that you have less time, but this month, June, is a great month astronomically because we have the longest day of the year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere.
We do. And as a human being, that's a source of celebration because we all like the light.
Yes, we do. And humans from time immemorial have celebrated the solstice in various ways. So talk about, first of all, what's happening astronomically? What's the Earth doing?
So as we know, of course, the Earth is going around the sun. So that's one motion that we do. But also our Earth has a tilt to it. And that is why the apparent path of the sun in the sky does not correspond with the equator. If you take the Earth's equator and project it on the sky, it doesn't coincide with the path of the sun because there's a bit of an offset. So those two lines, the path of the sun is called the ecliptic, and the projection of the equator is called celestial equator. And those two cross twice a year. Those are the equinoxes. But then we have once a year where the difference, the distance, the angle, if you will, between the ecliptic and the equator are maximum. And depending on which hemisphere you live in, the ecliptic is higher than the celestial equator or lower, and that determines whether it's for you summer or winter.
The shortest day or the longest day of the year.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, so obviously we're coming into the longest day of the year for us here in Wisconsin. But around the world, people have marked this and have built things to point out this momentous occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's so important to us that the light is at its longest? You know, why do we mark that as opposed to, say, another part of the celestial calendar?
Well, because it's important from practical points of view. These were times of year where certain things start happening, depending on which your latitude is. But certainly in some places, that's where the harvest is going to be best. In some places, it's going to be where you would start putting down things in the ground. So it depends on where you are. But there were very practical considerations, but I think also psychological considerations. If you live in a cold climate, you've had such a long winter that the longest day is something to celebrate, to be sure.
Just by itself.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you live in a warm climate, then you think, okay, this is the longest day. The nights are going to start getting longer. Therefore, we're going to get some relief from this heat wave. So I think there's pluses and minuses depending on where you live. I just had an opportunity. This is actually the second time I've seen this mechanism of Adikithira. This is a machine that was built a little over 2,000 years ago now. And it has all the sophistication of predicting exactly when, for example, eclipses happen and other astronomical phenomena. And we are following very closely. We have been following for thousands of years the motions of celestial objects around us, including, of course, the most important one, the sun, because we feel connected to this bigger universe.
So this device that you saw in Greece, over 2,000 years old. But there are lots of other places around the world that also measure things, whether it's the winter or the summer solstice or the equinoxes or whatever they are. And I've been to Stonehenge, and I understand you've been to Newgrange, which is in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like?
That was awesome because, quite frankly, I mean, this is a long time ago when I saw this, but I had never heard of it. I confess, I had never heard of it. And it's older even than Stonehenge. It is this mound that they finally realized wasn't just a funeral location. It was, in fact, marking the position of the sun, the solstices. So I believe it's in the summer solstice, but it could be wrong about that. It might be the winter. But in any case, on one of the solstices, The sun rises just so that the rays of the sun come down this long hallway and hit the very center of this monument, of this construction. And I think it's just awesome that people were attentive to these details. I mean, sometimes I talk to people, modern people, and it's not at the front of their minds that the sun doesn't rise every day at the same place, even though if they thought about it, they'd realize, oh, yeah, you know, when I'm making the lunches, you know, I'm staring out this window, I can't see the sun certain times of the year, but sometimes it's annoying because it comes to my face. You know, people put that together if they think about it, but they don't have it at the front of their heads. So it's interesting to see that ancient people were, I think, in some ways more in tune with that because, of course, all their light or most of it came from the sun. So it made a big difference in your style of life if you could say, oh, well, I have 16 hours to play outside or I have five.
Or fewer.
Or fewer, yes. Yes. I guess if you live in Ireland, yes, fewer.
It might be fewer in yeah. January. The other thing that's fascinating to me, too, is, of course, that, you know, they're marking this and they're marking it so precisely. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as having the mathematics and the precision, but that was amazingly precise. I mean, all of those standing stones and circles that were marking these things, they're utterly precise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mathematics were there, even if they didn't look like maybe the mathematics we use today.
Right. So I think they would base these things on a long history of other observations. So they didn't necessarily always were able to explain why this is exactly this way, but they had enough data from before to know this is going to happen this way. So they had the cycles in the sky. They understood a lot of the subtlety, in fact, of some of the nuanced differences in the movement of both the moon and the sun.
So if somebody were interested at our latitude here in observing something to do with the solstice that's coming up pretty soon, is there a place to go here? Is the observatory a good place to mark that? Is there a way to kind of notice the longest day of the year here? Other than to just be outside?
It's tempting to just be outside. Well, I would say for those people who would like to rediscover some of that or reconnect a bit with the movement of the sun, I would say make a little drawing of buildings around your house and try and put an X on the sidewalk or your patio or something. Try and find the same place with an eastern horizon that's free. And note every day where the sun rises and make your own measurements and see where does the sun rise on the longest day of the year. And then you'll be able to see the pattern for yourself.
Science at home.
That's right. Take your kids, wake up your kids a little early. And I confess, I meet a lot of children who have never seen the sunrise, which I find hard to believe. I think it's worth waking up your children and having them see a beautiful summer sunrise.
Particularly over the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Jean, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy your solstice.
Thank you.
And we will talk next month.
Great. Thanks.
Lake Effect contributor Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium, which is located on the campus of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. We'll take one last break, but hold on. We'll visit a Milwaukee area factory that makes harnesses next. It's a tacky sort of interview when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.